Item number five. Was Mr. Wolf going to appear by phone? Mr. Thomas?
Yes. Yes, we have a telephone number for Gary Wolf.
Okay.
And we'll go ahead and see if we can...
At a state board meeting yesterday.
Yeah.
Gary.
Yes.
It's Jeff Young. How are you doing?
Well, thank you.
Good. Well, we are at agenda item number five, which is a report by our State Water Board liaison. What would you like to share with us this morning?
I'm sorry, it's a little hard to hear you. You said you're ready to go?
Yeah, I would be chewing on the microphone if I got any closer to it. Is that any better?
Okay. I'll just go ahead and speak. There's a bit of an echo, though, when you speak, just so you're aware. I apologize to people for not being there in person. We've had some scheduling conflicts that I'm trying to get worked out in the future so I can be at more of the meetings. But I appreciate our being able to communicate in this way, at least. Our new executive director will be starting on Monday. I think that's the first and most important part of my report. We're greatly looking forward to her being present. She is Dorothy Rice, formerly of the Department of Toxic Substances Control. Before that, the California Integrated Waste Management Board. So she's very familiar with the EPA, the Cal EPA system, and we're looking forward to her joining our organization. We have a strategic planning process moving forward very well. Last week, we held the State Board Stakeholder Summit in Sacramento, and a member of your board was... And we had over 100 stakeholders in a variety of groups there. It went very well. There were a great many interesting points raised. The two that stuck in my mind the most were a desire that we integrate our work more effectively across traditional boundaries, both with air quality and other sorts of water issues, as well as across watersheds. I think as a collection of entities, the water boards are already doing that to some extent, but stakeholders would like us to do more of that sort of integration. There was also, and I found this very interesting because it came from the business table initially, although others then chimed in and agreed, but there was a desire for us to be less political in our decision-making. And a lively discussion ensued about what that means to be political in decision-making. But in any case, there is a desire out there for all water board members to be as to base their decisions as much as possible on information and logic and sound science, and to be as apolitical as possible, which I certainly concur with, although different people would define that differently. In more specific news, our construction stormwater permit draft has been released for comment, and workshops will be held on April 17th in Rancho Cucamonga in Southern California, and on April 20th in Sacramento. I'm very sorry I won't be there today to hear item 9, the sustainable structural post-construction stormwater best management practice selection tool that Jennifer Bidding of your staff prepared. That's very much relevant to our stormwater permit. I'm glad to see such high-quality work being done in the Central Coast region. I did review the board item, though. Our industrial stormwater permit revision is underway, and we'll be releasing a draft of that permit sometime this summer. So this year, the State Board staff will be very actively involved in the stormwater area. Also, the Phase 2 permit will come up for revision in 2008, so I see stormwater as a major focus for the State Board both this year and next year. We have a number of new policies that are in the draft stage and will be released for public review in not too far in the future. One is in the recycled water area, and another one addresses compliance schedules. A little bit of background on the compliance schedule issue may be useful. Only 6 of the 9 regions allow compliance schedules in their basin plans, and those 6 regions, the language in the basin plans varies, in a way that is somewhat confusing, and for some people at least. And some people claim that at least some of the language in some of the basic plans is illegal. So we thought it was best to attempt to standardize the compliance schedule language across all of the regions and be certain that it is legal. And so we have begun to develop policy along those lines, and we'll be sending it out for review when available. We also have a decision to make with respect to once through cooling. There's no specific time for this decision, but because of a recent court decision, Riverkeeper versus U.S. EPA, which nullified the EPA rules for once through cooling at existing power plants, we need to decide how to proceed with our policy, which is being developed to implement the federal policy and perhaps more. One alternative is to simply continue to use best professional judgment in deciding how to handle once through cooling permits in California. But that best professional judgment would then have to be in accordance with the new court decision. Another alternative has been proposed by the California Council for Environmental and Economic Balance is that we initiate a formal consultation with the California Energy Commission and the independent system operator with respect to the potential energy grid impacts of any sort of action in this area. And yet another possibility is we could do both of those. There's no reason to not continue to use BPJA and initiate a formal consultation. Exactly what it would mean to initiate a formal consultation is unclear. We simply received a letter requesting that we do that, and we're looking into it now. So those are the high points of what's going on at the State Board now. Of course, there are many other activities, and I'd be glad to answer any questions, people.
Does the Board have any questions? No? I did see the septic tank regs. At least Ms. Oaken had emailed me a copy of whatever was released just a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And where is that at this point? Or have they been just released for public comment?
You know, Gary, I've seen some septic tank regulations. Are they proposed regulations that are out for public review?
My understanding is that we're still in a revision process based on the last set of comments, and we have not reissued a new set of regs for public review. So, but if you just received something recently, it's possibly I wasn't aware of it. But to the best of my knowledge, we're still revising internally based on the last set of comments.
Okay. And then lastly, how about with the ABS issues? Did I miss
ASBS is areas of special biologic significance?
Yes,
that is in an internal process based on comments received on the scoping documents that were released. So we have a CEQA process that's been initiated, or what we call functional equivalent document to CEQA, environmental assessment. That process has been initiated. We're in the process of hiring a consultant to do that environmental review. And at some point, a draft environmental review document on the ASBS exemption language will be released for review. That's a good, I don't know, probably 6 months off is my understanding.
Okay.
I should have also mentioned something I heard that you may well be aware of, but my understanding is that the marketing order for leafy greens that was finally released does not include some language previously included that might have led farmers to remove buffer strips and these sorts of things. So the marketing order was improved in that way, and I hope that it is sufficient to protect all of the positive actions that are being taken under the Ag Waiver Program.
Well, that's good news.
I think so.
Yeah.
The only problem with that, Gary, is that a lot of farmers have already reacted to the original wording and have removed the vegetation, and so consequently, some of those ranches were back to where we were before.
Oh, so you're saying the damage has already been done?
Yes.
Can we document that? I'd love to get a short report that documents, you know, the number of acres affected, or even an estimate of the range of the number of acres affected, because it's an example of how people, you know, sometimes overreact or inappropriately react when they get bad information, and how harmful that can be. And I'm sure there's going to be more action in the leafy green area, and I would love to show people, you know, the kinds of errors that have occurred and that we want to avoid in the future.
The RCD actually just sent out a survey, I think it was the Monterey County RCD, to, I believe it was 600 farms, asking for information about how practices have changed in this area. So hopefully we'll have some information on that soon. The other thing with the metrics is that there is still some language in there regarding buffer strips that at least our staff is concerned about, that will induce farmers to use bare buffer strips around certain crops.
I see. All of the offending language was not removed, only some of it.
Right.
I see.
That the Leafy Green Advisory Board is meeting today to make a decision on adopting those metrics, and their technical committee met last week, and I attended that meeting, and the recommendation of the technical committee was to adopt a continuing resolution that would allow the advisory board and CDFA to modify the metrics as new information comes in and new science is developed, and the inspectors go out in the field and find out what the glitches are and the misinterpretations. So we hope to continue working with the advisory board to get all these issues resolved.
So if it were to adopt in that format, do you think that the issue will have been adequately addressed going forward? I mean, not completely addressed. Obviously, there's more work to be done. I think that they will essentially be on board with understanding of this issue.
It's not clear, but our staff is not satisfied with the current language because it does still have buffer strip language in there. And there's some other practices that we've heard that farmers may be implementing. And again, it's probably an educational issue, but there's some issue of increasing berm height and channelizing waters to avoid flooding, which may increase flooding downstream and cause other adverse water quality impacts. So that's another issue that we're concerned about.
Right. Well, I'm disappointed to hear that. I had the impression that, apparently things have moved in the right direction, but just not far enough yet.
Yes, and our staff has been working very closely with Western Growers, who's taken the lead in drafting those metrics. And then if we're finished with that, if I could just go back to the AB 885 regs. I checked on the website, and these have been released for public comment. They're on the State Board's website. There's a 3.1307 draft.
Okay. And how long is the public comment period?
I don't see a hearing notice. Mm. So at this point, I guess that means it's indefinite.
Actually, can I comment on
it? Sure.
My understanding is that those were released as a courtesy to people, and there is no public comment period officially in effect now. The next official public comment period, I understand, will happen when those regs are released with a CEQA document, which is supposed to be the next May.
Okay. All right. Mr. Wolf, we do have a member of the audience that had some questions for you.
Sure.
Mr. Greening.
Thank you. I'm Eric Greening from Atascadero in the Salinas River watershed. Basically, one question relative to the once-through cooling. You mentioned several agencies you want to get on the same page with. How about the State Lands Commission, since they seem to have made quite a firm determination that it's an obsolete form of cooling? How are you getting on the same page with the State Lands Commission, and how do you interpret their timeline? Obviously, they don't want to approve new once-through cooling, but how do you interpret their timeline relative to phasing out the ones that exist now? Thank you.
You're welcome. The best professional judgment criteria allows the regional board staff who are directly, you know, issuing permits for these facilities to use all information that's available to determine what they believe to be the best technologies available for control of the impacts of one through cooling. And that could be the, you know, the phase out of the elimination of one through cooling and replacement with other forms of cooling. So the fact the State Lands Commission has taken a strong stance here, the California Energy Commission previously has indicated that in new facilities or in greatly expanded facilities, you know, once through cooling is not necessary. There are other better technologies. This sort of information can be used by our staff in making their best professional judgment decision. That's a decision of the permit writer. That's not a decision of the state board staff per se. It's a decision of the permit writer. What we were doing is we were developing a policy at the state level to implement the federal policy plus perhaps some provisions beyond the federal policy. But the federal policy has now been remanded by the court, PA. So in the absence of a federal policy, any consultations we engage in and so forth are really sort of open territory. It's really unclear how it will be best to proceed. But at the meantime, the staff at the regional level who are directly writing this have full authority to use their best judgment as to how to handle once through cooling. And if they're persuaded by evidence and arguments endorsed previously by the State Lands Commission, then that will be their decision.
Mr. Wolf, I thought I heard you say that the Water Board staff doesn't exercise that judgment, but the permit writer does?
Well, the regional boards exercise that judgment, and the permit writers make a recommendation to the regional board.
Okay, all right.
The state board is not directly involved in making once-through-cooling decisions. It's through policy, and it's not clear where our policy will go now that the federal policy has been remanded. So in the meantime, the real, you know, line authority continues to reside with the regions, with this decision as to what constitutes professional judgment, what constitutes best technology available for each power plant as it comes up for permit renewal. Is that clear?
It is clear.
Gary, this is Russ Jeffries. Do you have any idea when EPA is going to be able to get out new regs dealing with that issue?
No, I don't. I just saw a copy of a one-page memo from them simply saying that in the interim, people should continue to use BPJ. It doesn't give a time frame for how, you know, for when they will respond. It's completely speculative at this point. It could be, you know, 6 months to a year, or it could be much longer. There's no way of knowing, really, given that the once through cooling issue has been, you know, on again, off again in the federal system for, I think it's over 20 years now, and there's been a long series of litigation associated with it. So I think it's at this point, no one really knows how EPA will respond.
I did talk to EPA staff about.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I talked to EPA staff about this several weeks ago, and at that time they were saying they were thinking 2 to 3 years, and they still haven't decided whether they're going to appeal the Riverkeeper decision. They have about another month, I believe, so that could significantly change things, too.
Was that regional staff or what?
Headquarters.
Headquarters, okay.
I have one question.
Go ahead.
Regarding state policy, does anyone know when the next opportunity is for public to weigh in on Water Board policy decisions or changes?
With respect to
how we will deal with once through cooling.
With cooling?
Yeah.
What, people can...
Well, I'm sorry. I would suggest that you go ahead and send letters now. There really isn't a formal decision point coming up until the CEQA analysis of the draft policy is completed, which is, you know, we're many months away from that. But in the meantime, we may redirect that work in now the court decision. So I think sending letters saying here's what we think you should do is fine at this time.
And Dr. Hunter, did you mean at the state board level as opposed to the regional board level?
Yes, at the state board level. I was referring to, and good morning, Gary. Pardon me, I did not introduce myself. But I was referring to your comments that the state board level addresses policy and the regional board level actually deals with the conditions on the permit.
Go ahead.
Did I answer the question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Wolf, this is Michael Thomas. And the 316B policy, given the court decision that recently came out, do you anticipate significant changes to the draft policy?
I have no idea.
Okay. Thank you.
And at least while we're on this topic, I'm curious as to what our timing is for the power plants in our region that are waiting for permit renewal from us.
We don't know at this point. At least we have to wait and see if EPA is going to appeal the decision, and if they don't, we'll move forward at that point.
Okay. So we could have another discussion about this at the May board meeting.
Right.
At least at that point, we'll be beyond the appeal period.
Right. And there's two options, basically. One is to go forward and issue a best professional judgment permit before the state board issues the policy, or get a better idea of when the state board thinks that policy will be issued and wait for that. I wouldn't suggest waiting for new EPA regs.
Right. I would think that would take years. Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Wolf? Mr. Hayashi.
Good morning, Gary. I want to go back to this leafy green item for a moment. You know, you're saying that, you know, that the farmers overreact and they jumped the gun by doing what they did. You have to understand that when you have an investment out there, millions of dollars in your crop, and it's ready to harvest, you only have a window of about 3 days from the optimum time to harvest and the time that it's too old to harvest. So these guys have to protect their investment and their livelihood one way or another. When you're being dictated by the buyers that are dictating these changes that need to be made, what they think that is safe in their mind to protect the public, that's what they have to do. But so not always will the science match up with what's really going on. So I think
I understand, and I did not mean the word overreact to be pejorative. It may well be that the farmers did what they had to do given what growers were saying to them at the time. I'm not processors were saying to them at the time, or buyers. So I didn't mean to be pejorative about it, but I do think that the entire system, if you will, in attempting to respond to this crisis, some inadvertent harm occurred. And that's sad, and that's really all I was attempting to say, that it's unfortunate that this inadvertent setback in terms of measures that, you know, people spent time and money to invest in the first place has been undone, and I would like to see us all get on the page in a way that prevents that sort of harm in the future. That's all I meant to say, and I didn't mean to be pejorative with respect to any particular party in the situation.
Yeah, I understand that. But so I think the next move that we have to figure out how to get the buying community to buy in with the environmental community and what's really going on and what the real cause of the E. coli problem.
That's a very good point. That's a very, very good point. And I believe that the workshop you folks are co-sponsoring in April, that's still occurring, isn't it? Food safety and water quality.
Yes.
And I think that workshop is going to help with that issue.
All right.
Okay. Any other comments, questions? All right, Gary. Hope to see you at our next board meeting in person.
I hope to be there in person.
All right. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye bye. All right.
He's going to stay online.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
All right. Great. Item.